You know, I've been hearing a lot lately about people bringing up Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's a lot of people that believe that the war that we've been seeing coming in Jeremiah 25, which is all throughout the Middle East there, they believe that that is part of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which there really isn't any sign that proves that whatsoever. What I would like to point out to you is that Ezekiel 38 and 39 doesn't have anything to do with this war. Jeremiah 25 is this war, and it is the war of Babylon conquering those Middle Eastern nations, America conquering those Middle Eastern nations, and ultimately those nations at the end coming back to conquer Babylon. Now, that is the Ezekiel 38-39 war. It's when the nations rise up to conquer Babylon. Look at Ezekiel 38 just for a minute. I want to point out something to you. I know that a lot of people are teaching this. They got it from, frankly, folks, a lot of people that were not spirit-filled taught that this was a pre-tribulation war. And it's because they don't understand a few things, okay? Let me point some things out to you. Number one, you know that Acts 2 and 20 says that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into light before the day of the Lord come. And that Matthew 24 says, after the tribulation, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. So we know the day of the Lord comes after the 7 years, okay? When does this battle with Gog and Rosh and Meshech and Tubal and Cush and Put and Lud and Persia and all these nations, when does this battle happen? Well, I'll turn to Ezekiel 30, verse 3. It says, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It shall be a day of clouds, a time of the nations. You know what we've discovered about all the nations being destroyed? That's in the day of the Lord. Okay. And a sword shall come upon Egypt, and anguish shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain shall fall in Egypt, and they shall take away her multitude, and her foundations shall be broken down. Ethiopia, Put, Lud, and all the mingled people, and Cub, and the children of the land that is in league, shall fall with them by the sword. And when did this happen? You're mentioning the grandchildren of Noah that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38. When did this happen? In the day of the Lord. Not 7 years before the day of the Lord. So, I know that this probably leaves you with some problems, and we can look at those in a minute. But look at Jeremiah 45, verse 9. Go ye up, go up ye horses, and rage ye chariots, and let the mighty men go forth, Cush, and Put, and handle the shield, and the Ludine, that handled and bend the bow, for the day of the Lord of hosts, is a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. So you see, we've got two witnesses here that those nations, I shouldn't call them nations because it doesn't say they're nations, they will be destroyed in the day of the Lord, which comes after the tribulation period. Which begins, the day of the Lord begins with the sun darkening and the moon not giving its light. Well, you know, Ezekiel 38 and 39, you know, some people say, for instance, that Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh. Let me point out to you that Gog here is the only name among these peoples that were not listed with the grandsons of Noah. In Genesis 10. All the rest of these names are listed among the grandsons of Noah. You know, the grandsons of Noah, if I remember correctly, were 16 people. Each one of these names, on an average, would be 1/16 of planet Earth. We're talking about a very large, large group of people here. The Bible says all nations shall be gathered together against Jerusalem. So you're talking about a very large, large group of people. In our book, Hidden Manna, I list these nations and what areas they took and so on and so forth, and did my very best there. I'll point out something to you. People say that Gog is actually Georgia. Have you ever looked at Georgia on a globe? You can't even get the name in the nation. It's so small. All the hordes of Gog. And since when has Georgia ever led any nations against Israel? You know, and it says here that they're from the uttermost parts of the north. Chapter 6, verse 6. The uttermost parts. They're coming down from the uttermost. What's the uttermost mean? Yeah, this doesn't sound like Georgia. I mean, this is the latest thing people say is Georgia. And that the Russian troops right now are in Georgia. And, because we know that we're going over there to attack Iran, and the Russians are over there waiting. And so this could be the beginning of Ezekiel 38. No, it's not. Well, I don't doubt that the Russians might get involved in this one way or another. I don't doubt it at all. I'm just saying this ain't got nothing to do with Ezekiel 38:39. And, but by the way, the nations that are listed here in the beginning of Ezekiel 38, they are just an army that comes from the north. They're not the people that live in the battle theater. They're not Shemites, for instance. The Shemites live in the battle theater. They're a massive group of people that is called the King of the South. You're looking here as just the King of the North. A massive group of people in the King of the South is not listed here in these tribes that come from the uttermost parts of the North. But they're asking the question, art thou come to take the spoil? Hast thou assembled thy company to take the prey? You know, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish. Tarshish, of course, is a merchant nation, a naval nation, that most people connect with England and America and Canada, and we do very well in our book connecting these, you see. And they're asking this question, have you come down here to take our plunder? See, all nations are gathered together against Israel, probably to enforce the UN laws that they've made about dividing Israel or dividing Jerusalem. And the Bible says in Zechariah 14:1, that they come and they take half of the city. Well, folks, if you got that many people, they can take anything they want. Israel can't stop them. Why do they only take half the city? Because that's all the UN has demanded. That's equal. So you got the king of the north you're looking at here, and the king of the south asks this question. And, of course, the people in the battle theater is a very large group of people. So you're not talking about just the Russians coming down with a few nations. We're not even talking about nations here. We're talking about masses of humanity here that are gathered together to exercise their own will. You know, God says in verse 16, he says, "And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as the cloud to cover the land. You shall come up to pass." He said, "This will come to pass in the latter days that I will bring thee against my land, that the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog." And the reason Gog's not listed with the rest of them is because Gog is not human. He's a principality. As a matter of fact, Gog shows up 1,000 years later. Right. In Revelation chapter 20. For another war to gather the nations against God's people. And by the way, Gog's army's wiped out, but evidently he can't be because he's there 1,000 years later. Okay. So let me ask you this. If it's a pre-tribulation wiping out of the Russian army, how would they be there to attack America at the end? No. It doesn't make any sense. It's not the truth. It's not the word. It's not going to happen. Let me give you another proof here. Verse 19. He said, "For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. In other words, when the north, king of the north comes down and the king of the south resists, there's going to be a great shaking. You know why? Because this is a nuclear war that starts here. A great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea, the birds of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down. Can you imagine, folks, if this is a pre-tribulation war, how in the world are you going to have a tribulation with the mountains thrown down? And the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Again, there's no mention of this during the tribulation period. This happens at the end of the tribulation period. This is a catastrophic earthquake that's mentioned over in Revelation 16. The great earthquake that divides Babylon into three. And it's talking about world Babylon. It's talking about the king of the north, king of the south, kings of the east. It's dividing Babylon. This is the great earthquake that's mentioned every time Armageddon is mentioned. Every place Armageddon is mentioned. In Joel, in Zechariah 14, in Revelation 16. Everywhere the great earthquake is mentioned, Armageddon is mentioned. Well, Armageddon doesn't come before the tribulation. It comes after the tribulation. This is Armageddon that we're looking at here. It don't have anything to do with a pre-tribulation attack on Israel. That's a fairy tale that non-spirit-filled people have given us, just like the pre-trib all-flyaway rapture. And it don't fit. And verse 21 says, verse 20 is, every mountain's going to fall, every wall's going to fall. How can you have a tribulation if that happens? No, this happens at the end, in the great and terrible day of the Lord, when everything is destroyed. It's the flood. And I will call for a sword against him unto all my mountains, says the Lord. And every man's sword shall be against his brother. And with pestilence and with blood will I enter into judgment with him. Every man's sword will be against his brother. That's what he said he was going to do in Zechariah 14 when he came back to judge the nations who were invading Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. Every man's sword was against his brother. The Lord said, go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. It says specifically in the battle for Jerusalem where Jehoshaphat was there that he went forth and fought against those nations. And he divided them into three, exactly like Revelation 16 says, the great earthquake will divide Babylon into three. And he divided them into three. And as a matter of fact, he divided them into the king of the north, king of the south, king of the east. Same with Gideon's army, king of the north, king of the south, king of the east. In both instances. And he said, I'm going to fight like I fought in the day of battle. That's what he did. What's he going to do here? The nations have come as the UN, the United Nations, against Israel as one. Same as with Gideon, and the same as with Jehoshaphat. And God's going to divide them, and they're going to kill off one another. This is the war that destroys the United States. This is the war that destroys Russia. This is the war that destroys the nations. This is that war. And, of course, the king of the north gets an idea in his mind that when he's going up, when he's assembled his great host to come down and divide Israel, that this would be a good time to attack the United States. In verse 10, he says, for thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass in that day that things shall come into thy mind, and thou shalt devise an evil device, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Well, everybody thinks that's talking about Jerusalem, but folks, since that theory came out, they've built an awesome wall going all the way across there, you know. So it's really not the land of unwalled villages. And besides, there's lots of walls in Jerusalem and lots of walls in those villages. So what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about America here. I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest and that dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. See, that's America, folks. The only gates, bars that we've got is nuclear missiles, you know. to take the spoil and to take the prey and to turn my hand against the waste places that are now inhabited and against the people that are gathered out of the nations. That's America's a gathering of the nations. It's a melting pot of the nations that have gotten cattle and goods. You can't say much about the cattle of Israel. That wouldn't even be a snack for this army. No, but they would love to have the cattle in the United States. And that dwell in the middle of the earth, the navel of the earth. You know what the navel is, of course. The navel is where the feeding is going from, right? The navel of the earth. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish. Ezekiel 39 is a parallel to this. And guess what happens? A nuclear war. Verse 6. And I will send a fire on Magog and on them that dwell securely in the isles. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Who is it that dwells securely? By the way, the word isles here is used in Genesis for continents. We're not talking about little islands. We're talking about big islands here. Continents. The earth was divided in that day. See? And the isle in the midst of the sea is talking about America. That dwell securely in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. My holy name will I make known in the midst of my people Israel. Neither shall I suffer my name to be profaned any more. In other words, this is the end, folks. You think his name's not going to be profaned during the tribulation period? This is not a pre-tribulation war here. This is a post-tribulation war. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Do you mean to tell me the nations are going to get the revelation of who God is at the beginning of the tribulation period? There wouldn't be a tribulation if they knew who God was. No, this is talking about at the end. It's too late then. They're in the wrath. They're in the flood. They're being wiped out. But they got the revelation of who God is. The Bible says they're going to try to hide themselves from him that sits upon the throne. And call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from him that sits upon the throne. They know who God is. They've seen God's people taken away. They're trembling. But they're ruled by the devil anyway. It doesn't make any difference. See, they get this revelation. Verse 21 says, and I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. All the nations? See, we're not talking about just a few nations here in Ezekiel 38. All the nations are going to see God's hand upon them. Yeah, this is that war. The battle that's generally called Armageddon. Shouldn't be, but it is. That's just one place for one battle. But this Armageddon is a world war. It starts there. It spreads. It's a nuclear exchange, sudden nuclear exchange from all nations that have nukes. And my hand that I have laid upon them, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Uh-oh. That can't be a pre-tribulation war. Because from that day forward, they're going to know God is God. And the nations are going to know it. That can't be a pre-tribulation war. Verse 23, and the nations shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they trespassed against me. Well, I'll tell you, that can't be pre-tribulation because they don't believe that at all. It is pre-trib now, and they don't believe that now. You know what the major hanging point in most people's minds is verse 7, is why they say that this cannot be a post-tribulation war. And it says, 1 9. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall make fires of the weapons and burn them, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall make fires of them for 7 years. And they say, well, you see, it's for 7 years. And that's talking about the tribulation period. And there's no 7 years after the... Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. They think that the earth is going to be totally annihilated, you know, and that there won't be any more earth. But the Bible says that the earth abideth forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. See, the earth abided all the way through the flood, yet the Bible says the earth that then was destroyed, but it's still here. And he's comparing In 2 Peter, the earth in Noah's day with the earth in our day. See, the earth is not going to stop at the great and terrible day of the Lord. They're just going into the rest of the millennium. And where is it going to be? It's going to be here on this earth. Yeah, the earth as we know it is going to be destroyed, like it was during the flood. The surface of the earth will be destroyed like it was during the flood. In 2 Peter 3, he compares the flood that destroyed the earth in Noah's day with the destruction that's going to destroy the earth in our day. And he says that in Psalm 102 and 26, let me read that to you. I just want to point out to you that the idea that most people have about the new heaven and the new earth is they think something's coming down out of the sky up there somewhere. You know, some planet that God's been hiding out. You've heard those rumors, right? In fact, you've probably even heard that they're watching one of them out there that's coming this way, you know. That isn't what the Bible teaches. Psalm 102, verse 25, it says, "Of old didst thou lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed." So like a vesture, like a garment, he's going to change the heavens and the earth. And of course, you know, he did that with the flood. The surface of the earth, not the body. A garment is not the body. A garment is on the body. And the earth has a garment on it that's going to be changed. But not the mud, not the dirt, not the ball of mud. So basically, there is going to be 7 years after the great and terrible day of the Lord. The Bible even tells you in Zechariah and other places that they're going to go forth from the people that live through the day of the Lord and go and gather the Jews from the nations and bring them to Israel. So how are they going to do that unless there's days and years beyond the day of the Lord? So the 7 days has nothing to do with when this war is. We just found out that this war happens in the great and terrible day of the Lord. There's no escaping the fact that that happens after the tribulation. And so, no, this is not the war we're talking about. People are worried about Russia and what Russia's going to do. Yeah, I agree. Russia's been making war on the United States anyway, covertly. They've been doing it. But I don't think they're ready to do it overtly. I don't think they think they can get away with it right now. But this has nothing to do with that. And as you can see, it can't be a pre-trib war at all. If you want to look at this really acutely, you can go to our site. And I think it's either, I believe it's either under the fall of the United States or the fall of the world. The chapter in Hidden Manna for the End Times, where I deal with Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's a lot more places here that prove that this is not possible, that that's what we're talking about, this war here. This is Armageddon. And matter of fact, the King of the North and the King of the South are plainly spoken of here.